welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. Mark Levenier, your host for this hour of horror. Later on, it's Murder at Midnight from 1946. But first, it's The Weird Circle, an episode from November 12th, 1944, called The Returned. This is actually based on a work from Edgar Allan Poe, his short story called Ligeia, published in September of 1938.
Phantoms of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, The Returned.
Jacob, there comes the hearse.
Poor Lady Ligeia. What a tragedy it was, Ellen.
Look how the village folks lie the streets.
And look, he rides in the carriage directly behind the coffin. Poor Sir Charles. What will he do now?
Why, didn't he tell you?
Now you know that you're his favorite in service.
Just the other night when I was taking him his late cup of tea, he said, Ellen, I'm going away for a long time. I'm afraid I'll have to leave everything to you and Jacob.
The whole of Glanville Castle? Did he say that?
He did. So he's leaving right after the coffin's lowered in the ground directly after.
How grieved he is. To think, 3 days ago, Lady Ligeia was laughing and dancing at the ball. And now they're putting her body in the ground.
Does any of us know we'll be alive tomorrow? Not so strange. Accidents happen every day. She should have been careful not to go so near the cliff.
Oh, the cliff. I tell you, Ellen, Sir Charles should put a tall fence around it to keep folks away. It's that dangerous.
Look, look, the hearse is passing.
Look at all the snow-white lilies.
They were her favorite lilies.
But you, Ellen, I haven't seen you shed a single tear.
Well, it's hard to. I don't believe she's really dead at all.
Now, whatever do you mean by that?
You'll not say I told you now.
Not a word.
And you promise not to be frightened?
Of course not. Whatever is it?
Well, I've been saying to myself how much better I'd feel for telling it to somebody.
Then come, tell it to me.
Well, it's not that I mean she's not dead. She is, of course, but... Well, only last night, Jacob.
Yes?
I found some of the funeral lilies in a vase in the library.
Oh, well, what of that?
It was Lady Ligeia who put them there. Her ghost, Jacob. Her ever-living ghost.
How do you know that?
Because I heard her wailing from the sea. Wailing for Sir Charles to come back. Now, I've told you. And you mustn't breathe it to a soul, do you hear?
Not a soul, Ellen. Not the soul. Easy getting into the carriage, Sir Charles.
Thank you, Jacob. Goodbye, Ellen. Jacob, take good care of Glanville Castle.
Goodbye, Sir Charles, and please, sir, take care of yourself.
Yes, I will.
Goodbye, sir. We'll watch over the castle good and proper, sir.
I know you will. Go ahead, driver. Goodbye. I'll let you hear from me.
Goodbye, Sir Charles.
Goodbye, Sir Charles.
Sir Charles, Sir Charles, run away, but wherever you go, wherever you are, you will come back to me, for all roads lead to Ligeia, to Ligeia, to Ligeia.
So, Ellen, I have seen the world, nearly all of it, I suppose. And the months have quickly slipped by. It seems only yesterday I left you and Jacob at Glanville Castle. 4 years aren't so very long, after all. But this isn't what I'm writing to say. Ellen, there's one thing more.
It's by way of a surprise, a wonderful surprise. I won't tell you what. But have Lady Ligeia's rooms aired and cleaned, and prepare dinner for two on Wednesday. There, I've told you without intention. My best regards to you and Jacob, Sir Charles. Well, did you ever? Jacob, he's gone and gotten himself married again, you mark my words.
Well, that's good. I hope he has. Indeed, I do.
Wednesday. Why, that's day after tomorrow. Jacob will have to hire more servants. Now, tomorrow morning...
Sir Charles.
Ellen, listen.
Sir Charles. Come home. Come home.
Oh, it's her again. Lady Ligeia. Now you've heard it, too. She's been here all these years, Jacob, waiting. Waiting for him to come back again.
The ghost. The castle's haunted by her ghost.
Now you believe me. Many's the time I've heard her crying in the sea wind, roaming through the big halls, her footfall soft on the stairs. But I've never been afraid until now. Till she laughed just then.
Oh, this is a terrible thing. What could she want here, Ellen?
We mustn't let on we know anything about it, Jacob. Not to a soul. Come on now, it's late.
But Ellen...
You see, Lady Lygia's ghost cries for Sir Charles to join her. And now he can never do that, don't you see?
You mean, because he's married again?
Yes, and when the ghost finds out he belongs to someone else, what will she do? It's that that frightens me. Come on now. Snuff the candles and close the shutters tight.
Yes, Ellen.
Oh, Charles, what a happy day this is.
Today's happy because of you, Lowena. And I'm happy, too, because you make me so.
Do I, Charles? Oh, it's good to see your eyes so bright. Remember in London how gloomy you were, how sad you seemed?
That's all gone because of you.
Have you really forgotten her, Charles?
Completely, Lowena. The G is gone from my mind forever.
Did you love her very much?
There now, you made me promise weeks ago not to speak of her again.
But she was so famous for her beauty, and I am curious.
You're beautiful. Do you know, I think I've been in love with you since that day your father brought you to Granville Castle and we sailed our paper boat.
Oh, Charles, we were only 6 or 7 years old.
I know we were. I don't ever remember having such a jolly time as we did that day. I thought of that day instantly we met in London last April.
How strange to remember such a little thing as paper boat.
And then I remember thinking, Lady Lowena Trevanion of Tremaine belongs in Granville Castle. I am in love with her. And then we said, how do you do?
And before you knew it, you were married.
Uh-huh.
The Lady Lowena had snared you, as they say in London. Charles. Hmm? Oh, Charles, look. There's the castle.
I love it, standing there on that high bluff overlooking the sea. We'll be there in no time now, darling.
How impressive it is. Oh, how exciting, Charles. I'm in love with it already.
Lowena, what's the matter?
Nothing, Charles. It's nothing.
But you've gone white. Are you ill?
No, no, it's nothing. Just the excitement, I suppose. I felt a little jab at my heart, as if it were pricked with an icicle.
Oh, Lowena. My darling.
It's gone now. I'm quite all right. But, Charles...
Yes?
It's nothing. How silly I am. You see what being in love with Sir Charles Glanville does to one? She grows faint with a kind of wonderful happiness. What delicious tea, Ellen.
Thank you, Lady Lowena. Jacob has lighted a fire in the library, Sir Charles.
All right, Ellen. Shall we go into the fire, Lowena?
Charles.
Hmm.
May I ask a question?
Of course, my darling.
Will you forgive me? It's about Lygia.
Well, what is it now?
Something rather strange, I think. Was she a little taller than I? Blue eyes, very black and lovely hair, and a beautiful smile.
Why, yes. How did you know?
Twice this evening, I've had a kind of glimpse of her.
Lowena, what do you mean?
I mean, this afternoon in the carriage when I felt ill, a picture of her passed for a second through my mind. I saw her quite clearly. Then tonight at dinner, when I spoke of the draft in the room, I saw her again.
Lowena, those flowers. Ellen! Ellen, come here!
Charles, what is it?
I won't have them here.
My darling, whatever's the matter, what won't
Ellen.
You have?
Yes, yes, sir.
Yes, sir, Charles, what is it, sir?
Those lilies in that vase, take them out.
Oh, Sir Charles... What shall I do with them? I've been afraid to throw them out.
Nonsense, Ellen. Why?
Because they're her flowers. Oh, I didn't want to tell you. But those lilies have been there, white and beautiful as snow, since the day she died 5 years ago.
What? Ellen, you can't believe such nonsense.
It's true, sir. It's true. There are more in the chapel.
Then we should leave them, Charles. What difference can a dozen lilies make?
All right, Ellen. Leave them here.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Is Jacob locked up for the night?
Yes, sir, he has.
Good night, then, Ellen.
Good night, Ellen. Charles, how gloomy you look. Come, my darling. The fire's warm and the room's cozy with it.
Oh, Lowena. A terrible depression's coming back. It's here, everywhere in the castle. A brooding, haunting fear. I'm afraid. I don't know why, Lorena, but I'm afraid.
My darling, there's nothing to be afraid of.
It was like this before. Even the first night after she died, when her body lay in the chapel, covered with flowers. It was...
Charles! The wind's blown open the terrace doors.
Oh, close them.
Charles!
What is it?
Something blew in the window from the sea. Charles, it's on my shoulder. Get it off. Get it off.
Lorena. Here. Now it's gone.
How awful. Oh, wet and slimy. Charles, close the windows.
Yes. There. Oh, Lorena. My darling.
Seaweed from the sea. It was in the wind. It felt like wet hands on my shoulders, on my throat. Oh, Charles, take it out.
Yeah, I'll shove it on the hearth. There now. Oh, my darling, don't be afraid.
It was like cold hands tightening about my throat. Charles, we're not alone. There's someone here in the room.
Nagia. Nagia. She was always here. Lorena, there's something I must tell you.
What is it, Charles?
I hated her. I never loved her at all.
Charles.
It was long ago. Both she and I were so young when the marriage was arranged. Nagia was beautiful and strong. She loved me more than I could understand.
Charles.
Then one night I made up my mind to get away. She grew wild with anger. I left the house. She followed me to the cliff.
My darling.
She was always indifferent to danger. She threatened to throw herself over the bluff into the sea if I persisted and went away. And then, suddenly it happened. I saw her slip. A bit of earth gave way. I grabbed for her, but it was too late. She fell like a stricken bird onto the rocks and surf below.
But, Charles, you can't blame yourself for such an accident.
That night she said something I'll never forget.
What was it?
She said, if you go away, I'll follow you, Charles. You can't escape me. Never. Even when I'm dead, I'll follow you. Wait and see. Lorena, listen.
What is it?
Lucia. Lucia. She's here. Here in the room.
But why?
She's come for me. For me.
Charles.
Lorena, what's the matter, darling?
The little stab at my heart. Oh, Charles. You're wrong. She has come for me.
Ellen! Ellen! Oh, my darling, Lorena. Can you ever forgive me for bringing you here?
Charles, don't fret. I'm not afraid of this ghost.
Ellen!
What harm can a phantom do us?
But this pain in your heart, it frightens me. And you said she's come for you.
I believe she has, Charles. I mean, Lygia's jealous. It's her wicked jealousy that haunts the castle.
Did you call, Sir Charles?
Yes, Ellen. Lady Lorena's not well. I'm going to carry her upstairs. Will you take the candle for me?
But I can walk, Charles. Really, I can.
And if you feel well enough to walk, let's go away from here now. Oh, Lorena, say you will.
Leave Glenville Castle? Oh, Charles, we've only just come. No, you carry me upstairs if you wish, but let's stay here. It's our home.
Oh, whatever will I do with her, Ellen? All right, now. There, now. You're light as a feather.
This way, sir. I'll open the door.
Thank you.
Ellen, has she been haunting the castle all these years that Charles was away?
I suppose you could say she has, ma'am. Now and again, I've heard her climbing these very stairs and laughing. Very happy-like. But mostly I've heard her outside on the bluff.
How do you mean, Ellen?
Well, it's just that, well, sir, I think that's where she comes from. The cliff where she died. Jacob never heard her wailings in the sea winds, but many's the night I have. Her voice seems like part of the surf and the wind, if you know what I mean. Here, sir, I'll open the bedroom door.
Thank you.
Charles, how solemn you are. Let me down gently now.
There. Adjust the pillows, Ellen.
Oh, ma'am. Forgive me for speaking so, but the way things are, I think Sir Charles is right. You should go away.
Now, Ellen, I'll wager the phantom is already gone and your fears are for nothing. Charles, where are you going?
I thought I heard a sound on the stairs. Oh, Lorena, my darling, you can make light of this thing, but I tell you, there's more to it than you know. There's evil, hatred and evil here.
But where are you going?
I'm going outside to the cliff. Ellen, stay here with her.
He's gone. Oh, Ellen, I can tell you. I'm deathly afraid.
But I'm here, ma'am.
It's not that. Don't you see?
She'll never let us be happy, Ellen, never. And she'll take him away from me somehow. I don't know how, but somehow she will.
Ligia, where are you? Ligia, listen to me. I'll do anything you say, anything, if I can only right the wrong. I appeal to you, Ligia.
What would you have, Sir Charles? Happiness with Lady Luina?
Ligia, it is you.
Part of the sea and the wind am I, Sir Charles, until you come to me.
Oh, leave me alone, Ligia. Let me live my life.
There in the castle and here by the sea I've waited. And you've come back again, as I knew you would someday.
No, not to you.
To me, Sir Charles. Come to me now. The path lies downward to the rocks and the surf. It is but a step from where you are to me. Come.
Oh, no, I don't love you. I never did. You know that.
Then I shall haunt you till you do, Sir Charles. Until you do.
Ligia, where are you? Come back. The laughter moves to the castle. Luina. Luina! Ellen, is Lady Luina all right?
Oh, sir, I'm glad you've come. Something's terribly wrong with my mistress.
Luina, my darling, what's the matter?
Jacob, fetch me the cold.
I should never have left you. Never.
Here you are, Ellen.
I feel so tired, Charles. So tired.
This compress on your forehead, ma'am. It'll do you good.
Does she have fever, Ellen?
No, sir. This illness came upon her quite sudden-like a little while ago.
I'll be all right. Soon I'll be all right.
Ellen, we've got to get her out of here. Now.
Oh, Sir Charles, I'd be afraid to risk it. It's her heart, I think. Feel how it beats.
Oh. Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Get the carriage. Go for the village doctor. Tell him Lady Glanville is ill. Dangerously ill. Tell him anything, but get him back here quick.
Yes, sir. Fast as I can.
Ellen, close the door. Is the window locked?
Yes, sir, it is. I'll lock the door.
How can we keep the ghost of Gia away, Ellen? How? We must. We must. Oh, Luina, I'll take you away from here soon. Soon as you're able to go.
Charles. Charles, hold my hand.
Why? It's cold. Don't be afraid, darling. Ellen and I are here with you.
I am afraid. Help me, Charles. How can I fight? When the phantom comes...
But she won't come, Luina. Soon the doctor will be here. He'll make things right again. It's only some illness.
Charles. Poor Charles. I should never have come to Glanville. You belong to Ligia, to no one else. She'll never let you go. Listen. Listen. Ligia comes for me, Charles, now.
No, Luina, it's nothing. We're imagining it.
Oh, she's coming nearer, sir. What shall we do?
That laughter.
Charles, I'm afraid of her. Help me! Help me! The lock. The lock turned.
Ligia, in the name of heaven, leave us alone. I'll do anything you say. Anything but leave us alone.
Look, sir. The lilies moved. She's there by the table touching the white lilies.
The lilies are a symbol of my ghostly eternity, Sir Charles. When the lilies wither and fade, your Ligia died.
She stands near your side. Clearly I can see her now. And she reaches... Charles! She reaches to touch my heart.
No. Ellen, help me quickly. Take the covers from her.
What will you do?
Ligia will murder if we stay here. Hurry up. Carry her to the chapel. Why didn't we think of the chapel before? Luina, darling, relax in my arms. It'll be only a moment.
Sir Charles, wait. Look there. Her eyes are closed.
Luina. Luina. Oh, Ellen. We were too late. Too late.
The phantom has murdered her.
Oh, try to reach me now, Ligia. I'll lock this castle tight as a drum, and your loneliness will torment you till the walls rot and crumble away. See what you've done. You've killed her. Your evil jealousy has smothered my lady to death.
Oh, how terrible, sir. How terrible. Come. Take her to the chapel. We will pray for her soul.
Yes. We will pray for her soul.
Light the other candles, Ellen.
Yes, sir. And lay her there before the altar, Sir Charles.
It's where Ligia lay.
Some of her lilies are here still. Now they're Lowena's lilies. It's nearly morning, Ellen. Jacob will be returned soon. Have him send the doctor away again.
Come away yourself, Sir Charles. Take her up again. The air here is cold and damp.
In a little while, Ellen. She's so beautiful in the candlelight.
Sir Charles.
What?
Look. Her bosom moves. I saw it clearly then.
Lowena. Oh, Lowena. Ellen. Her pulse is throbbing.
Oh, praise heaven. It's a miracle, sir.
Help me rub her wrist. Quickly there.
Wait. She opens her eyes.
Lowena. Oh, you're all right. You're all right. We were so frightened, my darling. We thought...
Poor Charles. You thought I was dead.
Yes. Yes. But you're alive. You're alive. Oh, how glad I am. How glad.
And you came back
to me, Charles. Just as I knew you would someday.
Lowena. Your voice.
Sir Charles. Sir Charles! It's the Lady Ligeia. Her spirit has entered the body of your wife.
I've come back to you, Charles. The only way I could.
Ligeia!
Take care of me now until this body is well. And then I'll be mistress of Glanville and the wife of Sir Charles again.
Ligeia! You're a devil!
Only because I love my life so much and you more than I could bear. Have pity, Charles, and love me too.
No, Ligeia, no.
In time you will, my darling.
Where's she? Where's the Lady Lowena?
Somewhere in the wind. Even as I was.
Lowena!
How useless that is, my Charles.
Lowena!
Come to me now. And pity my wretchedness. And give me peace.
Lowena!
Oh, Lady Ligeia, come back. Leave him be. Leave him be. Come back, Lady Ligeia. Come back.
Ellen, what's happened here? I've brought the doctor.
Oh, Jacob, help me quickly now. We must go after him, Sir Charles.
I saw him just running toward the cliff and the Lady Lowena after him.
Oh, quick then, before it's too late.
Look yonder, Ellen, on the cliff.
Jacob, hurry.
It's the Lady Lowena.
No, Jacob. It's the Lady Ligeia who has entered the body of Lady Lowena. Jacob, look in the morning light. Far below on the rocks.
It's Sir Charles.
Oh, how terrible. How terrible it is.
He died just as the Lady Ligeia herself went so long ago.
Jacob, quickly now. We must get her inside out of the wind.
How cold she is. Ellen, she's coming around.
Take her up, Jacob. In the castle.
No. No, Ellen. There's no need for that. Is he dead?
Yes. On the rocks below.
I tried to save him. I didn't want him to die.
Don't talk, ma'am. The doctor's here.
Ellen, I cannot stay now.
Yes, ma'am. I know.
I've lost him forever. To her. To Lowena. He loved her truly, Ellen.
Indeed, that he did.
And so did I, but not truly. Instead, I loved him wholly. Too selfishly, because he was my life, and I love my life most of all. But now I cannot stay. Jacob, take me into the chapel and pray that my soul may find rest.
Gladly, ma'am. We'll both pray for you.
And as you pray, watch the lilies on the altar. I promise you, they will wither and turn brown and die.
Ellen.
She's dead, Jacob. A woman with two lives. Come, take her up and into the chapel. Let us pray for her soul. Ligeia and the lilies are dead.
Of the past, we have brought you the story, The Returned. Bellkeeper, toll the
the bell.
The Weird Circle, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated broadcast from November 12, 1944, an adaptation of Edgar Allan Poe's short story, Ligeia. 20 years later, it was turned into a motion picture by Roger Corman with Vincent Price as star. And reportedly, Corman said of the film, it was his biggest and most exciting of all of his Edgar Allan Poe adaptations. You're listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Murder at Midnight, a syndicated episode from July 5th, 1946. The story, The Man Who Died Yesterday.
For the last time, Walt, please let me go.
Nuts.
Then it has to be this way.
Hap, no, drop that gun.
I'm sorry, Walt. Very sorry. I've known all along you had to die tonight. But I didn't know. I killed you.
Midnight. The witching hour when the night is darkest, our fears the strongest, and our strength at its lowest ebb. Midnight, when the graves gape open and death strikes. How? You'll learn the answer in just a minute in The Man Who Died Yesterday. Midnight. Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre. Our story by William Morwood is The Man Who Died Yesterday. Afternoon on a little traveled highway. A strange-looking man in threadbare clothes stands hopefully by the roadside. A car comes around a curve. Slows up. Stops.
Looking for a lift?
Are you headed for New York?
That's me. Hop in.
Thank you. It's very good of you. I'm in a hurry to reach New York. I haven't much time, you see.
Yeah, sure. I picked you right off for a big executive on his way to a board meeting.
Oh, nothing like that. It's just that, oh, there's something terribly important I've got to do. A mission.
Oh, Salvation Army, huh?
No, United Nations. I have to see the Secretary General before midnight tonight. That leaves me only 8 hours.
The United... Are you feeling all right, pal?
Yes. I was sick, but I'm feeling fine now.
You don't look so good to me. White as a ghost. Of course, you could do with a haircut, too.
I suppose so. I'm afraid I've been out of touch with civilization a long while. By the way, my name is... rather was... David Hapgood.
I'm Walt Griggs.
Can't you drive any faster, Walt? We've still got a long way to go, and... well, I'm worried about this part of the road. There's going to be a rock slide and...
Rock slide? Oh, you mean those signs? Ah, it's nothing to worry about. They put them up on...
It's all right. Keep going, Walt. We got through safely.
Yeah, but there was a rock slide, just like you said.
Of course.
But how did you know?
I can see ahead, Walt. See into the future for 24 hours.
The guy was nuts, of course, but... still, what are the odds against calling a long shot like that? 1,000,000 to 1? 1,000,000,000? I gave up trying to figure it. We drove along for about an hour and then stopped for gas. There was this hamburger joint right by.
Where are we going, Walt?
Grab a bite.
Oh, but there isn't time. I've less than 7 hours now, and by midnight
I've got to gas up anyway, and I'm hungry. Come on, Hep.
Hi, you fellas.
Hello, sugar. Sit down, Hep.
What'll it be, boys?
Hamburger for me, sweetheart, with onions. What's yours, Hep?
I'm not hungry.
Oh, busy with your speech for the United Nations, huh? Well, I'll just read this racing form while you're thinking.
Racing form?
Sure, I play the G's all the time. Got some important dough on today's meet. $50 on Alistair to win in the sixth.
Alistair?
Yep.
I'm afraid you'll lose your money, Walt.
What? Don't kid me. Alistair's the hot favorite. It's going to be a walkaway.
Marble the third won that race.
Marble? How are you nuts? He's a rank outsider. 100... What do you mean, won the race? It hasn't been run yet.
Hasn't it? I didn't know.
Look, wait a minute. Sweetheart.
Yeah?
You think you can get the races on the radio?
Oh, sure. It's all tuned in. A lot of our customers like to listen.
Walt, we can't waste time like this. Who can think about a horse race?
I can. Remember my $50.
But...
for the great race. The crowd is going wild with excitement. They're around the bend now, coming into the straight. Alistair is out in front by 2 lengths.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the horses bunched. Alistair is going strong.
Attaboy, where's your marble, Hap?
Wait.
Entering the last stretch now. It's a walk away for Alistair.
Nice,
4 lengths ahead and no challenger. Wait a minute. Alistair stumbles. Can't regain stride. He's down.
What?
The jockey's going clear, but Alistair is... The other horses have gone past. Number 8 is out in front. Number 8. Marble the third. Marble the third. Marble the third and Marble wins. We go.
Turn that thing
That's
off.
Run for the books, folks. The most extraordinary...
I'll be... You knew it all the time, Hap. You knew Marble had to win.
Of course. Walt, we've got to go.
Sure. Sure, Hap, anything you say. You're the guy I've been waiting for all my life. I didn't need no more figuring to tell me Hap was a gold mine. And I had him first before anybody else could get their hooks into him. The only thing that worried me was the way he talked. All this about midnight, not having much time. I had to use him while I had him, even if it meant taking chances. So while we drove, I worked on a plan.
Walt, we've left the New York Road. The signs are pointing the other way.
I know. I'm taking a shortcut through a town called Hassock.
Hassock?
Yeah. That name mean anything to you, Hap? Hassock? Think hard.
Let me see. There's going to be a holdup there tonight at the factory. 2 men involved. There's still the week's payroll, $10,000.
$10,000, huh? They get away with it?
There's a chase, but they shake off the police.
Great. Couldn't be better.
Why?
We're the 2 men, Hap. You and me.
What? No, Walt, no, I'm not a criminal. And I've something else to do with what little time I have left.
You're coming with me, Hap. Maybe this will convince you.
A gun doesn't frighten me. Stop the car and let me out. I've got to get to New York.
All right, look, I'll make a deal with you. You come with me on the stick-up and I'll drive you straight through to New York without stopping. Are you on?
But I can't, Walt. My message concerns the whole world.
It's the only way you'll get to deliver it.
Well, if it is the only way... All right. You know, there's something more I've got to tell you, Walt.
What's that?
We leave a dead man behind.
It was getting dark when we hit town. I drove down the main street and onto the factory building beyond. It was all dark except for a light in the cashier's office. Hap and I went in. There was a guy sitting at a desk.
Who are you? What do you want?
The $10,000 in that safe. This is a stick-up, brother.
You're crazy. There's no ten...
Open up. I'll do the talking.
I warn you, men. You'll be caught for
this. Shut up and start turning that dial.
All right. I guess you win.
Come on, snap into it.
I'm doing the best I can.
That's it. Now hand out those greenbacks. Come on, get a move on.
Watch out, Walt. He's turning in an alarm.
Oh, you double-crossing rat. Oh. Hey. Carry you. It's the guy that had to be killed, Hap?
Yes.
Okay, then step on it. The cops will be swarming around like flies.
Thank you.
They're gaining on us, Walt.
I can't go any faster. I'm down to the floorboards already.
They'll start shooting soon.
You sure we get away? There's no slip-up?
No. We get away all right.
Good.
Where did they get you, Walt?
My arm. What do we do, Hap?
Keep driving till we hit that bend in the road.
Yeah?
There's a clump of willows around the corner. Pull in there.
Okay. Here goes. Douse the lights.
Off.
We shook him, Hap. Just like you said.
No hurry. Get back to the New York road. I've less than 3 hours left.
Okay, but I gotta stop and see a doctor.
A doctor?
Sure, my arm. Oh, what's the matter, Hap?
I'm afraid of that doctor. Something happens there that I don't understand.
What is it?
I don't know. That's something I should have explained before. I can see into the future for you, Walt, and for everyone else, but not for myself.
You the doctor?
What can I do for you?
Oh, my arm. I had a little accident. I was cleaning my gun and it went off.
Come into my office.
Okay.
And this man?
He's just a friend of mine. Nothing the matter with him.
I don't agree. Looks much sicker than you do.
No, doctor, really.
Your face, it's the color of...
No, I'm all right, believe me. Please hurry with my friend.
It'll only take a second. Just get my stethoscope.
Look, let's quit kidding around, Doc. I'm the one
quiet.
That...
Quiet. Good Lord.
What's the matter, Doc? Why are you looking at him like that?
Well, it's impossible, of course, but there's no heartbeat.
No.
But that's impossible. If your heart wasn't beating, you'd be...
Dead? Yes. I've been dead since yesterday, at midnight.
Staring at him. The living corpse of the man who died yesterday, Walt and the doctor draw back in horror. Just who is David Hapgood? Perhaps we'll know when the clock strikes 12 for Murder at Midnight. And now, back to Murder at Midnight and The Man Who Died Yesterday.
The goose pimples were standing out on me. Here I'd found the guy, been with him for hours, through a holdup and a killing. And now I was hearing from his own lips that he was dead. He gave me the creeps. I wanted to take it in the land, but instead I was froze to the floor. I heard the doc saying...
You've been dead since yesterday?
Yes, doctor.
But that's impossible. There must be some explanation, some obscure heart condition.
There is an explanation, but not that kind. You see, I was cheated out of 24 hours at the time of my birth,
eh?
And I'm just making up for it now.
How do you mean?
This will sound fantastic to you, but nevertheless it's true. I was born on a ship crossing the international dateline. I started coming into the world during the last moments of a Friday and finished up early on Sunday. So I skipped a whole day of my life. I've always been living 24 hours ahead of myself.
But that's sheer...
It's gospel, Doc. He can call the turn on anything like he was reading tomorrow's paper.
I told you it would sound fantastic, Doctor. But it is true. When I realized it, I tried not to use it for selfish ends. I wanted to help people, but I never could. People would never listen to me, believe me. Finally, I realized that there was no place for me in the world, that man wasn't meant to know the future. So I went away, up into the woods.
How long ago?
About 10 years ago. Away from civilization, it was easier. I still knew what was going to happen, of course, but with no way to communicate my knowledge, my conscience was at rest. That is, until last night.
Last night?
I had caught a cold. It developed into pneumonia. I was deathly sick. I couldn't breathe. And lost consciousness. Then suddenly, at midnight, I was well. Quite well. Not a trace of my illness. I knew what had happened, of course. I was dead.
Duh.
But I still had my missing day to live. I knew I must use it for the benefit of mankind.
How?
There's something I know. Something that involves the fate of millions of people. Unless some action is taken within the next few hours.
What action? What is it?
I'm sorry, but I can't tell you, Doctor. I can't tell anyone except the Secretary General of the United Nations. And I must reach him before midnight, before I'm really dead.
It's getting on to 10 o'clock.
Now do you understand why I'm in such a hurry?
I'll say, let's get going, Hap. Never mind about my arm. That can wait.
No, listen to me, Hap. You can't leave.
What?
As far as your being able to read the future is concerned, well, it doesn't matter whether I believe that or not, but that heart condition of yours, that's something unique in medical history. Now, you've got to let me take you to a hospital where it can be studied properly.
Lay off that stuff,
Doc. I'll phone for an ambulance.
Stay away from that phone. He's mine.
Yours? Do you realize what this can mean to science?
Don't give me that talk. You just want to grab him off for yourself.
Nonsense!
Stop it, both of you. I don't belong to anyone. I'm not a specimen to be examined. I've got a mission to perform for all of civilization. I've got to get to the United Nations before...
No matter how you've been deluding yourself, young man, you're terribly sick. I'm going to phone the hospital...
Okay, you asked for it.
You!
I must get away from here.
Hap, come back here.
Come back here.
Okay, if you're dead, it won't hurt you, and if you're not...
Oh!
Holy smoke. That bullet went right through you and only knocked you down.
Let go of me, Walt.
Try to run away, huh?
I've got to get to New York. Nothing can stop me.
You're coming with me, Hap. I got plans for us as long as you last.
You've got your 10,000. What more do you want?
A chance to run it up to 100,000 and we can do it. I know the police and you can call the cops.
But there's no time.
I'm figuring on only a couple of hours. That's plenty.
Listen, Walt. I'm asking you for the last time. Let go. Do a decent thing for once in your life.
Nuts.
What I'm trying to do, it's for you as much for millions of others.
I never gave a cuss about the others and I'm not starting now.
All right, Walt. It has to be this way.
Hap, drop that gun.
I'm sorry, Walt. Very sorry. I'd known all along that you had to die tonight. But I didn't know that I'd kill you.
Kind of a silent type, ain't you?
Sorry?
Oh, that's all right. I don't like fellas that gab too much. You know, it was nice of you to pick me up back there on the road.
I was lonely. Besides, I needed reassurance.
How's that?
You see, I've been out of touch with civilization for some time, and the people I've met today weren't inspiring.
You're a strange guy, do you know it?
Am I?
Yeah, I mean, the way you talk and look... You don't look quite real. Oh, now don't get me wrong. I like you a lot.
Oh, I'm glad.
Well, for instance, we've been driving for nearly an hour now, and you haven't even made a pass at me once.
I'm afraid that wouldn't do either of us much good.
Yeah, but just the same, a girl appreciates a little thing like that. Incidentally, what's your name?
You can call me Hap.
Hi, Hap. I'm Hazel.
How do you do?
Well, I guess I ought to tell you something about myself.
Well, I know a little already.
Huh?
You're going to New York to find your fiancé, aren't you?
Yeah, a guy called... Say, how'd you know that?
You're going to look him up in the phone book and call. Then you're going to find out that he's married.
What? Oh, you're kidding me. Jim wouldn't do a thing like that. He'd wait for me forever. He said he would. And, hey, why are we stopping?
Almost out of gas.
Howdy, folks.
Fill her up as quickly as possible.
Okay.
How far to New York from here?
Well, you ought to be at George Washington Bridge in about 10 minutes.
Fine.
You folks hear about all the excitement on the highway?
No, what happened?
Well, the cops are looking for a crazy killer. Murdered 3 people. One was a stick-up, the other two was a doctor and his own sidekick.
Oh, what's he look like?
Well, according to the radio, he's got a chalk-white face, mop of hair that looks like it hasn't been cut in weeks. No hat and...
What's the matter, Bud? What are you staring at?
Your friend, I got to get something out of the office. I'll be back in a minute.
He's going to phone the police. This is your chance to get out, Hazel.
Oh, no. I'm staying with you, Hep. Now, you better get moving and keep moving. No sign we're being followed. We may make it yet.
Are you frightened, Hazel, being with me?
I guess I should be, but I'm not.
Thank you.
Somehow I can't believe you're crazy. If you killed anyone, you knew what you were doing and you had a good reason.
Thank you again. You don't know what that means to me.
Have people always been scared of you, Hap?
Most people. Till I met you. Why couldn't I have met you sooner, Hazel?
Well, what's wrong with now?
It's a little late.
Not for me.
You honestly mean that?
Sure.
Well, then perhaps it's going to be all right after all. Perhaps we'll meet again.
What do you mean?
I didn't mean to tell you this. Perhaps I shouldn't now. It may cause you pain.
Go ahead. I can stand it.
After you call Jim your fiancé and find that he's married, you start across the street in a daze. A taxi is driving too fast and...
Got my number on it, huh?
Yes, I'm sorry. And yet, in a way... What did that sign say, Hazel?
George Washington Bridge, 2 miles.
Oh, I'm going to make it. There's still time. The Secretary General is in his home. They'll let me in when they hear my message. I'll have most of an hour with him. It's not quite 11 yet.
11? Hey, your watch must have stopped.
What?
Look, there's a clock in the building.
Where?
Up to the right, there.
3 minutes of 12. Oh.
Well, what's the matter, Hap?
Oh, I can't make it. Oh, I've lost. Unless, a telephone. There's still time for that.
Well, why are you stopping here? There's no phone.
In that house, the family's all in bed upstairs. There's a telephone in the parlor.
But the door is sure to be locked.
They've forgotten to latch the parlor window.
Hey, how do you know all these things?
Never mind now. Goodbye, Hazel.
But I'll be waiting here.
No, you'd better start down the road. The police mustn't find you.
But when you come back, I'll be here.
I won't be back, Hazel. This is goodbye. For keeps.
But you've got to come back. You've got to.
Operator, get me the Secretary General of the United Nations at his home. Hurry, please, it's urgent. Hello? The Secretary General, please, it's terribly important. No, I've got to speak to him personally, Midnight. Hello? Will you get him for me? There's no time left and... Never mind. I'll tell you. It's about...
I swear to that.
He must have climbed in this window. We'd better go in and have a look.
There was a girl with him when he left my gas station. She ought to be around.
Where's the light?
Here. There he is. On the floor. And he looks...
He's dead, all right.
No wonder. Look at that hole in his chest.
Wait a minute. There's something funny here. That wound never bled.
Huh?
And the only way that could happen is if he was dead before the bullet hit him.
Two men staring at a corpse that is finally still. And still forever. The corpse of the man who died yesterday, while outside, somewhere in the night, a restless spirit keeps a rendezvous that none can avoid, and the distant clocks chime the last notes in epilogue for
murder at midnight.
Mm-hmm. never to be with us again when death brings time to a full stop and the clocks strike 12 for Murder at Midnight. The part of David Hapgood was played by Stuart Brody. Vandell Kramer was Walt. With music by Charles Paul, Murder at Midnight was directed by Anton M. Leder.
Midnight on Tuned to Yesterday from July 5th, 1946, a syndicated episode. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. It's been a pleasure.